is Blackfish Fins.
Greetings and salutations.
Good morning,
good night.
It's time to get right. I know that we've already mentioned this in a post on our Instagram page at Blackfish Fins early last week, but we are very grateful for every listen, past, present, and future. When we set out to start this podcast, we really just wanted to create a space where Black femmes like ourselves can have another platform where we are visibly, when we are visible by ourselves and for ourselves. I rebuke the notion that there could ever be too many Black girls and women podcasting on YouTube, becoming influencers, etc.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening, supporting us, and providing feedback. We always want to ensure that you feel fulfilled and, most importantly, heard. We're always open to topic suggestions and requests, so feel free to comment or DM us on Instagram or Twitter at BeFierceFemmes.
We are fresh off the two-part series about red flags, and today's topic is university. More specifically, our experiences during our time in undergrad, attending a university. In the past few weeks, we know that many have returned to school, and so we believe that this episode's topic is most timely.
After we speak about our experiences, we'll give a few tips for freshmen and returning students who need to get back into the groove of school
things.
Regardless of what level you're entering each year, there's always, always a period of transition.
Mm-hmm, child. All right. So, I graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts in English with a concentration in creative writing and a minor in women's gender and sexuality studies.
Yeah.
Thank you, babe. Up until my very last year of school, I was a double major in English and WGSS, but I hated all of the academic politics. So I switched to one major and a minor since the minor was already complete so that I can graduate, so I can get out of here.
I graduated with a bachelor's in psychology and a minor in Black studies. In some ways, I'm a people person, so I was grateful for the opportunity to learn more about myself as well as other people. However, my experience wasn't all hunky-dory, but we'll get into that.
Hunky-dory?
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
It just wasn't it.
No, dude. So, my favorite and my least favorite year. I feel like I may have, like, favorite semesters. And, like,
that's valid.
Other than that, everything was my least favorite. I feel like my second semester of college was probably my favorite. So, that was, like, my freshman year in the spring. And that's when I started doing, like, fashion shows and... And that's when I met Jai.
Hello.
And that's when I just started being more social and getting to know more people, getting to know myself. Started, like, really finding the Black community at SUNY New Paltz. And so I feel like that, like, my introduction into a whole new world was my favorite. And other than that, I feel like it's not that I didn't have great semesters where I was doing great things and, like, meeting great people, but, like, it just, the more I went on, the more it became apparent to me that that's just not the best setting for me. And so it was just exhausting.
Yeah. My favorite. It would be between, like, second semester, sophomore year, up until, like, my junior year, I guess, through part of my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was because, like, that's what I myself also got to, like, get into the community more specifically, like, the Black community on campus, and get into socialize more, get to know people, just finding my groove, period, with the school. And it was my junior year that I met Moon.
Whoop, whoop.
Highlight, highlight. And my least favorite absolutely was my freshman year. Dun, dun, dun. That was a rough transition for me from high school to a whole other new environment. And I started off as a bio major, and that was boring for me. No shade to bio majors. Shout out to y'all who can sit through those lectures and get all that information packed in and stuff. That was just not it for me. I was so miserable. So getting to come out of my shell the next year and just... psych is a lot more chill than all the science and labs and stuff involved with biology and chemistry and all that. Glad that's in the past.
So pros and cons of my major / minor. Well, the pro of women, gender, and sexuality studies is that you get to, I really appreciated, like, an active space where I was learning about social justice as a movement, as a history, as a journey. But I feel like that's also one of the major cons is the institutionalization of women, gender, sexuality studies, because it just became a class where I felt like we weren't addressing the largest elephant in the room, which is racism, colorism. And so you had a class full of 25 white women and men, and then you had about, on average, 5 to 7 black women in the class, because they were rarely ever black men,
right?
Besides the intro course. And then there would be discussions about waves of feminism, which is a myth in itself, the suffrage and how this, you know, suffragettes, but they were all racist. Like, you know, like,
right.
We're talking about all these women's movements, but we need to also talk about the fact that these women owned slaves and didn't consider black women or black people human.
They was like, I'll be damned if a black man gets a vote before me.
Right. Weren't even considering black women. And I felt like
right.
there aren't enough professors of color, and then the ones that are have major white privilege and tenure and don't ever want to address it, but want to be like, I'm from the South Bronx, okay, but now you're a professor with tenure at a state university. That's a very different life to live. Mm-hmm. That was, you 40 something years old. That was years ago.
Right.
You know, things change, people change. And I just feel like programs like that need a lot more love and support. And when black women are saying their experiences and how they taste something, and then the white women start crying in the class because, you know, white fragility, I'm just like, girl, bye. Pros and cons of English major, it is all white people. Like, it is all white people. White people. White people. White people, white people, raving about literature that is whack as fuck. Like, some of it is good and, like, you can enjoy it. Like, I really enjoy Shakespeare and the Iliad. And, you know, there's some well-known literature that I appreciate. But I just feel like when you have conversations about certain kind of books and they can go in depth, come up with all these conspiracies, be in it. But then when you have a class, when y'all read African-American poetry and about the Renaissance, everybody quiet. Can't nobody read the text. And it's just like, how?
Right, you can read that 16th century English, but a little Ebonics, and it's like, I can't, what is this?
Like, you telling me you've never read a Langston Hughes poem. You really don't get his aesthetic. Seriously? Anyway.
You call yourself a scholar. You don't have the range.
Sis.
Any pros?
Oh, pros. I definitely listed a pro for women, gender, sexuality studies.
Okay.
I said, like, the social, like, getting to be involved. True. And know about movements and getting in depth. And you do like
some of the English literature. Okay.
Right, and I do like some of the English literature. And like, if you do like literature, and if you do like that old school white man, I don't have a job, so I can just sit around for 15 years writing this book literature, go for it. I believe it's for you.
Wow. So, I, like I said, bio wasn't it for me. So, I found psychology, and I appreciated all the knowledge, but again, very similar to, honestly, any major. It's hella white people, and when I've even been in classes, like, intentionally focused on the black experience, or rather, because even that was a black studies course, but, specifically, I took a course about, like, adolescent development, and whatever segment we had talking about black children, it was, like, maybe one or two readings throughout the entire semester, and of course, me being maybe one of one black person in the class, I'm sure, like, nobody had anything to say about the black experience. Nobody had any questions. Nobody had, like, nobody cared. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, well, you know, I guess you just have to go through this real quick. And all the professors are white.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't help. And yeah, just know, as much as I wanted to be like involved, and I felt at times like my intrigue was just like dampened. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm tired of hearing about white people. Where? Yeah. What about me? Like, so for something as simple as like a student assume, or even the professor assuming that like black babies, they just all have brown eyes and that's it. There's no room for like green eyes, hazel eyes, whatever. That's a whole other conversation with the exoticism involved in having eyes other than colored brown. But it's just like, I had to sit and correct my professor a couple times, like, you really not doing your research. And that shit is just, like, really frustrating. And as far as my minor for black studies, I grew up in a Christian household where a quote-unquote relationship to God came before any, like, racial identity or just any real, like, connection. Yeah, awareness, let alone a connection to, like, being black. So it was very, like, helpful for me coming into a space where I can just, it was just, like, a whole new world, and it was, like, exciting at first, you know, to get all this new information and all these terms and learn about a whole different worldview that I'm like, oh, wait, this actually works for me, and it makes sense why I've been hating all this, like, Christian religion stuff, like, mm-hmm. just so tired of it, But, you know, the department didn't have great funding like mm-hmm. all the other mm-hmm. majors and minors, which are we surprised?
It's still in the trailers, right? So,
yeah.
The department is like stationed in trailers on campus. Mind you, they'd be spending like millions of dollars on new engineering buildings every 3 years.
There's two engineering buildings on the campus at this point.
Don't forget the new science building.
Right.
That's literally the science building. And just to be clear, the State University of New York at New Paltz is a predominantly white institution.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's just make sure we have that out there so y'all just have the range.
Right.
Okay. And, like, the thing with a lot of those old psychologists and, like, philosophers, all the white ones, remind me a lot about English. And it's like, we can read Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass, which, okay, those are basically the same book, first of all. And it's like, okay, but trigger warning, he was a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm supposed to separate the artist from the art because somehow this is great literature.
Right. This is quality.
This is quality literature.
By a pedophile.
Like, but we ain't reading no Octavia Butler. Now that's some quality writing.
Right.
Google her.
Wow. Just thinking about this is frustrating.
So, favorite campus foods.
Wow. So, there was this spot on campus for, like, late night food.
Oh, yes.
It's not there anymore. I feel bad for y'all who missed out. Because they had this pasta. I don't know. It just always hit. And you get to, like, you know, put your own ingredients in it. But, like, that was my go-to. Like, every day I look forward to having pasta for dinner.
At Oscars.
At Oscars, yes.
That's the name of the name of the spot that Jay's talking Rest about is Oscars. Oscar. And they had a pasta station. They had a panini station. Because I know there's, well, I don't know if they changed it, but, like, I used to really thrive on paninis. And then they took it out and there was nowhere for me to get a panini.
Oh, yeah.
They had, like,
And the pasta ain't the same anymore, y'all.
Yeah, sorry. They had crazy bowls down there and, like, the grill, like not the grill, but
yeah,
onion rings, fries, some burgers or whatever. And it was also kind of like a deli, so they had chips and ice creams and like that was the like Oscars would be packed.
It would be a line at the door, the whole line at the door.
Wow,
from open.
While we're speaking about food establishments, RIP, Jasmine's Bakery.
Oh, yeah.
Jasmine's Bakery that used to be downstairs in Humanities. No, because I'm so riled up about this. They had, their cookies were next level. I love cookies.
And they didn't
but
come
them
back
cookies.
Now they got Pete's Cafe. What the fuck is
that? Pete's don't have cookies. And they don't have those cookies. Oh my goodness. So
You know what we can't forget? The veggie burgers.
At the grill.
At the grill with the chipotle mayo.
Yeah, man.
And gotta have them with curly fries.
Right.
And the sweet potato rolls.
Right.
At the sushi spot.
At Tokyo Sushi.
Oh, and the soups be hitting too. at the soup and salad spot.
Not all the soups, but that white bean, that Tuscan white bean, that one is a fan favorite.
With a dash of red hot sauce.
Yeah.
You said.
Element 93, I didn't eat much of it because we were vegan at the time, so I didn't really get to taste like they burgers, but I had their vegan stuff. And it was all right. Like, Element 93 has the best fries. Like, that's hands down. Like, their fries, McDonald's who? Like,
not for real.
Their fries are mad good. So, they sell cookies. I wonder if they are quality. I never got to try them, though.
We could go back. Maybe.
We'll see. I have no desire to go back there. Dear Lord, I done moved on.
Yeah.
The moved on. You gotta, when you out of undergrad, you gotta leave undergrad.
For real.
Leave that, let it go. Life moves on.
Like,
go and live your adult life.
Don't let that be your glory years, please.
Damn.
That's not it.
That's a real early time to start peaking and declining.
To be done at, like, 22, 23?
I'd rather peak at, like, 30, 40, honestly.
Shit.
Right. Like, midlife. Let's say I live to, like, 150. Nah, but, like, let's say I live to, like, 100. Which is the goal.
Right, to be done at in your 20s, and then what you gonna do for the rest of...
Right, I'd rather peak in the mid of my life.
Right.
And, like, right. Then just have the rest of my life to kind of slowly just enjoy all that I've built.
Right.
But if college, if those are your peak years, good for you. I saw you. I saw you having a great time. I'm glad that you had a great time. And yeah, that's that on that.
Sips tea. Now, tips and advice for y'all freshmen and returning students.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Run. I'm joking. Get your money's worth, because them loans, they gonna chase you forever. So, like, you might as well just continue if you can.
Might as well square up. Get your life in order.
Right.
So, first one, we both mentioned, get involved.
Mm-hmm.
We know at our school, we had a club and involvement fair. I would imagine that's something that's pretty common.
Yeah.
So, if your school has one, go.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can see all the clubs and interest groups that are available for you to join. And some, or if not most, there's a good number of them where, like, you don't have to necessarily join their, join the club or the executive board, but they'll host events that you can attend, so.
And you can't just attend the event. Like, you have to put your name in your email, in your phone number, or whatever. You have to go to people. You have to talk to people. You have to smile.
Right.
Like, even if you feel like you don't have the time for something, if you see that you're interested, sign up, because at least you'll get the emails as to what they're doing and when they're doing. And if you're free or if you're interested, you'll be like, you know what? Let me go check out that astronomy club that's about to see, you know, that morning star.
Right.
You know, because
sometimes
it's there.
They look for volunteers, you know, depending on what kind of event they're doing.
Right.
It's a great way to get to know people,
mm-hmm.
see what's going on, see what's not there in case you want to start your own group.
Which you can.
Been there, done that.
So, next is explore the nearby town if possible.
Yeah. I think it's definitely important. Like, where our school was situated, there's a town, like, it's within a town that's, like, you know, the main street's, like, two blocks away. It's very important to get to know who's surrounding the community,
mm-hmm.
especially, if it's, like, a public campus. 'Cause people be bugging sometimes, and as black people...
People be batshit crazy.
As people of color, you want to know where it's safe to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, say you got some white friends and they all want to go to the local bar, but the local bar don't really fuck with black people.
They don't serve black people.
You gotta know when to be like, I literally just heard some of my coworkers who are from a town not too far away from here. They weren't let into one of the bars. Because of where they're from. Mind you, these white people. And the person, whoever was at the door looked at their ID and was like, nah, we don't let people from this town, from this city in. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And you know, with Trump playing president, it's important that, no, like, this is for real, y'all. It's really important because New Paltz is already a shiesty town, okay? We're not going to act like it was the most welcoming to black people or people of color. And, right, with Trump being in office, with the tensions that are growing, like, please look out for yourself and please look out for people. It don't matter if you don't like sis. It don't matter if you and her fighting over this dude, if you and him broke up because he played you or you wasn't really feeling him. It don't matter. Because when you leave out the campus... And it's not to say that the campus is the safest spot, because I remember after Trump got elected, I saw this white guy walking, a student with a white nationalist shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right after it was announced he won.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking to get food. We went to Convenient. And he was just walking down the street. And we was like, what the fuck? And that was the beginning.
Right.
Now
there's this like pickup truck that drives around town with an American flag and like a... Trump 2020 flag.
Mm-hmm. And they used to drive around with a Confederacy flag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there are others. You see, people are very bold. Mm-hmm. So, just...
Yeah, even on campus, honestly.
Right. So, just look out for each other.
For real.
Next, not everybody is your friend. And I know we just, like, right, that I feel like it goes with the point we just made. It doesn't matter if somebody is your friend. We don't need another Emmett Till in 2019, regardless of gender. We don't need that. I don't want to see it. I don't care if I don't fuck with you. If I see something and we both out and we the only black people, we gonna walk like we sisters, like we cousins.
Yeah.
We gonna be a team, because I don't want to see you go over some bullshit. I don't want to go over some bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that shit is unpredictable. But it's important to remember that not everybody is your friend.
Right. You gotta learn the difference between acquaintances and, like, people you can actually, like, bond with.
Right.
Because that can be a tricky line.
And also be able to identify, and also just have, like, seek people who are like-hearted. Do you feel me? Right. So, like, I'm saying, if we got issues, that's what my heart says. That's what my soul tells me to do. Not everybody's going to feel that way. Not everybody may do that. Not everybody may even respond to, you know, what I just said in a way that's like, okay, yeah, I'm down. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose people who are like-hearted. And most importantly, know your heart, because you can't choose people who are like-hearted if you don't know your heart.
Right, in that same breath, you know, try your best. I know you're still young and learning about yourself. And, well, this is definitely, like, a peak time of, like, really starting to get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Try your best to be, like, as authentic as possible, because that way, you know, you're holding yourself accountable, and it's not just, like, oh, all these people, I don't know, you know. It's not always other people's, quote-unquote, fault if you don't get along and stuff. Like, you have to get to know yourself, too. You don't want to be the one that's being fake, either. Mm-hmm. So,
if you feel comfortable, that's very important. If you feel comfortable, attend office hours. Yeah.
That speaks for itself.
If you believe a professor is acting inappropriately, report them to the head of their department.
Word. Don't hesitate on that.
Whether they're grading unfairly or making a pass at you, do not let age difference or status intimidate you. Young women, you are absolutely beautiful, amazing, and stunning. Do not get caught up in these professors, because chances are he just wants to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Report him. Because trigger warning, that makes him a pedophile.
OD. OD. It don't matter if you legally over the age of 18. Why you, like, no. That's just, like, hella inappropriate.
You married 12 years. Right. You 40-some-odd years old. You don't even know what age these young women are.
But you trying to pursue somebody that could be a child.
That's gross. That's problematic. Y'all in completely different stages of life.
And then there's also that imbalance of you, like, the professor being in a role of perceived authority.
Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in this dom wanting to try kinks and dom and submission. And that's when knowing your heart comes into place. Like, first of all, if you're into those kinks, go ahead. Explore that. Explore that with someone who you trust. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. Explore that with someone who you trust. Don't just assume because this person is older than you, this person has more positions of power than you, that they deserve to be a dominant to you. That's not how it works.
Right. It's so not.
Like, that's a major issue. And I'm pretty sure anybody in the kink community will agree that the sub holds more power than the dom. And that's something that you have to learn through experiencing. Mm-hmm. And just, I've seen, like, threads on Twitter where a lot of older women talk about their experiences with older men, and, like, it's being, oh, they wanted to try these kinds of things, and then this older man just came, and it was like, oh, well, naturally, I'll fall into this.
Right.
But they got to earn it. If you feel like you trust them, okay, cool. You know, you're allowed to live your life and make your own mistakes, take your own make your own choices. This is your life, but be careful, because a lot of times it's just a cover up for abuse. They just want somebody to control. And again, that is not what a dom sub relationship is about at all.
Mm-hmm. And I just thought of like two sort of red flags that a professor is being inappropriate or trying to be. If they're telling you a little bit too much about their personal life, especially their relationship life, it's like, I'm here to learn, and you're supposed to be like teaching me about this specific subject matter. Mm-hmm. That's none of my business. Mm-hmm. And also, if they're asking you questions about your personal life, like where you live and where you work and stuff like that, like all of that off limits.
Mm-hmm. Like that, boundaries.
Catch that, nip that shit in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to put that on your student evaluation of instructor.
Yeah.
Like tell somebody. Don't just let that go off into silence, because, you know, even if you get away, even if you aren't a victim, there will be others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are complacent and allow abusers to continue abusing, we're all complacent and we're allowing, we say, oh, okay, it wasn't me, it's not me, I'm good, but what about the next person?
Exactly.
You know, what about the next person who may have not perceived that, or comes from a place where that seems regular or that seems acceptable? Mm-hmm. Like, you then become responsible, because at the end of the day, you're here to take care of yourself, but that's very selfish, and that karma will come on to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you see just the whole bystander effect. Exactly. We know how that go. You see somebody, you know, being attacked or something. Nobody's telling you to jump in, but you can certainly call the police.
Right.
You can certainly notify somebody.
You can hit up 911.
It's not going to hurt you to, like, have human decency.
Right. Don't wait on nobody else to do it.
Hold yourself accountable. You would want somebody to call for you.
Right.
So next we have, utilize your unexcused absences. Yo. Self-care. Like, use them. You get three, you get four, use them.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance don't matter, use it. Only use it if you feel like, you know, in that class, you'll do well. Like, you know the reading and you can handle it, or it's something that you've taken before, it's just you just need to get it for the credit.
Right.
But if you need the content, you need to go to class.
Like, if you got that flexibility, definitely utilize it.
Right.
Burnout is so real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you end up taking them 10-minute naps.
And then it's now 10 p.m. and all the food on campus is closed and you're hungry.
Nah, it's nothing like setting your alarm so you can lay down for 3 minutes because you're just so tired.
It's nothing like your class end at 12:15 and your next one is at 12:30, but you run to your room.
Right.
For that, just to sit down.
Right. To breathe, maybe cry a little bit. And then scurry on back to class.
That shit is such a mind fuck.
For a fucking test. So, what's the next one? That good old procrastination. Don't do it. If you can help it, do not procrastinate. I am so guilty of procrastinating just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the stuff that was just like, okay, this is easy, let me just get out the way. But, like, papers, whether it was, like, 3 pages or, like, 7, I had a terrible, terrible habit of, like, waiting literally until, like, the night before or the morning before at, like, 3 a.m. to start writing the paper. And, you know, I would get good marks on them, but the stress just was never worth it, because then I would be, like, drained. Like, coffee would not help. Nothing to, like, I would need to sleep. Like, sleep deprivation, just, it wasn't fun. I would not recommend it. If you can, you know, for me, my thing was, like, I didn't want to forget any of my ideas, so I'd rather sit down and do it in one setting. But then it was like, why would I do that a week ahead of time when it's not due yet? So I would recommend, like, you know, if that is maybe how you also think, try and, like, write those ideas down. Sit down and create your own outline or, you know, set up your subjects a little bit. And then try and do it, you know, try and do, like, a paragraph a day or a couple of paragraphs a day. That way it's just better for you.
Yeah. To be fair, there's some A-plus quality papers that could be written at 3 a.m., okay? The night before, to be fair.
Right.
But don't stress yourself like that. Yeah. I mean, I just wrote so many papers, so it all just blended into each other. So, I mean, hey, all I did was write for my degree.
Right.
Yeah. Write and discuss.
And then be printing at 7:58 and classes at 8.
First of all, don't take no fucking 8 a.m.s.
Not for
if you don't got to, don't play yourself like that. Like, that shit is just not the vibe.
Yeah.
The next one is take initiative, and I think that goes with the first point that we said, which is just, if you want anything in life, you got to put in the work. Don't just fall for this love and light bullshit that you just think it and it'll manifest. Yeah. You got to put in work so that you can be met halfway. Period.
Yeah, for real. The dun dun.
Not every party is worth it. I just seen you in class. We just sat in class. I saw you in Hasbrook. I'm not paying $12 to party with you, boo. And, you know, it's no shade. It's like, I'm tired. I got work at 7 a.m. because some of us got to work through college.
Yeah.
You feel me? I'm good.
Word.
You know, it's like, I can get this new palette. Shit, I can go get a burrito, have a nice night with the Wi-Fi, or I can go pay for a fit, get on the school bus.
Right.
And go to the party. Now, if you like to party, cool. I'm not saying don't go to parties, but just understand, not every party is worth it. Mm-hmm. The midterm parties, those final parties, my guy, choose your parties wisely.
You better study. Study before you go, if you really must go.
If you must go.
And them house parties. Just, you ain't gotta go to all of them.
They get shut down.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Especially if you're in a white neighborhood.
We are. New Paltz is.
Well, yeah. Right. And we all know the white party's just not it.
Anyway. get a job on campus or through work study if you can. We understand that everybody's awarded it, but... Mm-hmm. I know I had much better experiences when I had work-study jobs than when I had off-campus jobs because they're a little bit more lenient to the fact that you're a student mm-hmm. and you have exams and you have this that you have to do. And so I appreciate that.
Right. And it comes in handy for food. You know, you might get tired of campus food here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just working on your independence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Price match textbooks at the bookstore or use things like Chegg.com, thriftbooks.com, and understand that, like, it's probably going to take a minute to get to you. So if you need, like, especially in English, you would be done with your first book within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to order that beforehand, but then also sometimes you get to class and the professor's like, oh, we don't really need that book.
Nah, for real.
And it's like... It's a catch-22. You just gotta, sometimes you gotta play with the devil on that one.
Yeah, like, trying to, you know, sometimes, like Moon said, you really don't even need all the books that are, like, that would be listed on a syllabus. So, try to discern which ones you need, which ones you can do without. I'm like trying to, you know, waste coins or stuff you're not gonna use. If you could share a book with somebody, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, budget.
Next. The library is not a safe haven or a comfortable studying spot for many people, and this is perfectly fine. Yeah. I do encourage that you find an intentional work-study spot to minimize distractions, but the library just is not the vibe for everybody, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Don't.
I hated the library. It was cold, and I just couldn't get cozy.
Yeah.
I'd rather be in my room, at my desk, with some tea, and my jammies.
And your sweet potato rolls.
And my sweet potato rolls. Coolin.
Next. Spark Notes. That book. Fam. Like, Spark Notes. Spark Notes. Spark Notes. You know, just hear me in your dreams. Spark Notes.
Not for real.
Most canonical writing is bullshit, in my opinion. And especially if you were not exposed to them in high school, please understand that you are not a failure. You're not stupid. You're not dumb. And those people in that class are not smarter than you. All of y'all made it here together for the same reason.
Right. Nah, Spark Notes really be helping. Especially, like, I don't know, sometimes, like, professors and teachers be pulling questions out their ass, and it's like, how am I supposed to answer this question based on a reading? Like, you want me to dig so deep. I don't have time for this.
And honestly, even if you read the book, if you're in, like, an English major or minor, when them exams come and they expect you to remember all the motifs and the...
Right.
Like, they want you to remember the book from the end to finish. So, you know, it may be a good idea to even just go over it to just help you remember, period. So, next we have get the best meal plan that works for you. I absolutely hated the main dining hall, Hasbrook, my freshman year. My work money went to buying me food because, no, it was just like, you know, I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Watery, flavorless.
And then also, it was like, they had off hours, and my on hours to be people in were the off hours of Hasbrook, so there was no food. Right. So it was just like, this is a waste of my time.
OD. Like, that limited, just, no, I want my food when I want it.
Which brings us to the last point, which is grocery shopping. Do it. Do that. Do that shit. You know? Stock your room with snacks that are healthy, that are not healthy, because we're not body shaming no more. Like, that shit is canceled.
Right.
Just, if you need that pack of Reese's for when, you know, you start stressing on that 7-page paper, get your Reese's. If that's what you can afford, get it. Like, you have to start somewhere. And everybody can, you know, not everybody got the same situation. Some people got their families helping them, and that's what's up.
Right.
Some people ain't got that. Some people in between. But either way, like, you need to work within your means.
Right.
And if somebody around you is shaming you for that, cut that shit off. That's dead weight.
Oh, yeah, speaking of food in your room, try and get yourself a fridge.
OD.
Like, if you don't buy one, rent that micro fridge so that you got a microwave. Yo, that microwave
in the...
Heat that ramen up when you need it. And then, you know, especially if it's snowing and just for whatever reason, you don't feel like going outside, you got food in your room. You don't
Nah, because when it's snowing, most of that campus food is canceled, sis.
Nah, so for real.
You should grocery shop.
Yeah. Stock up.
I feel like I had a bonus point, but I forgot it. But it was good. Oh, bonus. They probably aren't that into you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself be played by anybody. Don't date your own fantasy. Don't date your own imagination. Been there, done that, and it's whack.
Do not date potential.
We don't date potential.
And if somebody ghosts you, let them disappear.
Let them disappear. And then when you see them on campus and they start, oh, hey, bye.
Boo.
Boo. Oh, bonus. The butt man is not your friend.
Facts.
The butt man is not your friend. Hey, the butt man is not your friend.
What?
The butt man is not your friend.
Boundaries.
Check what you're using, boo. Check what you're using because they be lacing. They be lacing because they got a job. They got bills to pay.
You paying their rent.
Oh, shit.
Boundaries.
The butt man is not your friend. That's the point. Da-da-da-da-da! What color represents your overall emotional state this past week? For me, I would say umber. Umber? Did I say that properly? Yeah. For me, umber. It's a shade of brown.
Okay.
It's a shade of brown.
Learn something new.
Okay.
Come on.
And because it just felt sticky. Like, the energy was just, like, very, very sticky. And I was working on grounding. And so, I felt like I was in, like, a liminal space. Like, in between, like, the real world and then, like, all the other worlds that exist.
all the realms.
And I was working on that grounding.
Yeah.
So, umber.
I like that.
Thank you.
Umber. I feel like... I was between, like, gray and deep sea blue. It's been quite a week. I don't know. Just between having to deal with people at work, in the world, when I'm just, like, you know, going to and from work and home. But then also just being in myself and all the depths that I have in me.
Okay. Poet.
Yeah, that's my week.
Noted. Don't forget to comment under this post with the color that represents your overall emotional state this past week.
Right. Yeah, I like describing myself in color. I love color. On that note, thank y'all for chatting with us. We hope that y'all were able to take something from this episode and from the podcast as a whole.
Be sure to share this podcast with your BFF, BF, or just F, maybe even your FB, fuck buddy, friend with benefits.
And please repost, retweet, and share our podcast. Follow BFF on Instagram at BlackFierceFems and on Twitter at BFierceFems.
Let's chat again. Until next time.
This is Black Fierce Fems.